answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The title that I've given to our message this evening is Spiritual Lightness Exposed. Spiritual lightness or indifference, ignorance exposed. Perhaps ignorance would be merciful. It would be willful ignorance. Now, friends, when we look at the passage that we read, it's very evident from the parable our Lord Jesus gave of how it was responded to, how the invitations from the king was responded to by those who were originally invited. The word of God says that they made light of it. They regarded not. And so the title, Spiritual Lightness, Indifference Exposed, is very apt. Now I wonder, friends, what is the state of your soul this evening before God? Are you privileged to have had many gospel invitations on account that perhaps you were brought up in a Christian home, that you had Christian parents or influence of some sort, went to a Christian school where you had access to the Bible or perhaps messages about the things of God? Or perhaps you had a privilege to go to a Christian Sunday school. And when we look at this passage, there is also this man who found his way into the wedding hall, sat among the guests who did not have a wedding robe, and he was cast out. Now it has been said that this represents one who may find himself in the visible church, but have no experience of true Christian conversion. Hence, the imparted righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the imputed righteousness which is given at salvation, and the ongoing righteousness is not very evident in the life of such a person. Hence, the person has no robe to present before the Lord God on the day of judgment. It might be your state this evening that perhaps you have been coming to church for a very long time and you have not experienced true Christian conversion. There is no work of grace in your heart. There is no true change in your life since you have been coming to church, or you claim to have had an experience with God. And when a day of judgment comes, that the Lord God would have to reject you, because he who knows the heart and the ways of man can see. Now that is a challenge that is presented as we look at this passage of the Word of God this evening. And hopefully as we go through, the Lord by his grace may help us to see where we stand before God and how we can come to him if we have not yet done so. Now friends, when we read Matthew 21 verse 42 to 45, this appears to be the backdrop to this parables which our Lord Jesus Christ gave in Matthew chapter 22. Because the chapter starts, and Jesus answered. What is he answering? It is said that he is answering the attitude which was displayed by the Jewish clergy in the preceding chapter from verse 42 to verse 46. He was answering them through this parable, exposing their danger or their ways and the danger they were treading. The Jewish nation has had many privileges. They were the nation that the Lord Jesus, the Lord God, chose as a sample to declare his love to the world. They had the Bible revealed or given to them. They had saw firsthand the deliverance of the Lord God in their nation. They had prophets. So they had had such a blessing from the Lord God. They had the privilege of being the first, as it were, invitees to experience the benefits of the Lord God. And yet we read that in the course of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, their response in the main was one of coldness, envy, hatred, jealousy, and even desire to arrest our Lord Jesus Christ and to destroy him, that is to kill him. And so this parable would give an insight into the ways of the Jewish nation in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ, but how it also exposes or speaks about our own experience or spiritual state before God, the privileges that we have, and the escalation if we do not take these privileges, in terms of how somewhere down the line, in the course of our lives, perhaps we may experience judicial hardening. The Lord God would not move us anymore, and we will become haters of God, enemies of God, seeking to destroy the works of God by hating Christians, and so forth. So this parable can be seen as merciful in its warning, if we would only respond to it positively. But it also reveals a side of the Lord God as one who would deal with sin. So, we first look at then here the wedding invitation. We're told that, and Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. The kingdom of heaven. What is the kingdom of heaven? Well, the kingdom of heaven can be seen perhaps in these ways. The kingdom which is recognized in our heart, which is operative in our lives as we day by day obey the Lord God in our lives. It is recognized in our hearts through the work of the Holy Spirit at conversion. It is not an outward religion or just formal religion. It pervades every aspect of our lives. It is very, very, in a very inner being, so to speak, our soul. And it's very, very reflective in the way we think, the way we speak, the things we do, our pursuits, our activities. But also the kingdom of God is seen also in the life of the church, but also seen in its culmination in the eternal ages where heaven and earth are merged or are merged, where we shall see visibly the Lord's people living. So when the Bible in the New Testament we read about the kingdom of heaven, it is either referring to these ways, either in our hearts, reflective in our lives, seen in the life of the church, but also how it would be reflected in the eternal days, heaven and earth merged together. Now, this parable then of an invitation to feast in the wedding of the king's son appears to allude to the gospel blessings that we would experience in the eternal ages. The final visible, well, you would say, leaving of the Lord Jesus Christ, the visible God, with his people in heaven. Now the key question is, how are we going to experience this benefit, this blessing? How can we get there? Are we there? Are we on this path? Are we on this road? And this clearly must be set before us, that there is a heaven to enjoy. Now, seen in the lives of Christians, although it might be sometimes very troubling to see a Christian going through trials, but friend, the future of that person, that one who comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and walks with him, is unquestionably joyous and happy. We have an insight when we read in the book of Revelation, there shall be no more cry, no sorrow, no death. It will be a place where there is no grief or sin. In that joyous days, it will be great to see that the Lord Jesus Christ is visible to his people, and where we worship and we serve our King and our Maker. Now friends, the question is, would you be there? Do you desire to be there? Well, in this parable, we're told that the king, in verse 3, sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden, that were invited to the wedding. Now, we're told that in the normal course of events, there would be a general invitation to people, a general call for people to be invited to the wedding. And there will be a special reminder sent to those who were bidden originally to confirm their coming or to invite them to come. And the third time, when the thing is ready, they will be bidden again. Now, this perhaps is affirmed by Jewish writings where the Jews say that unless I'm invited twice, I will never go to a wedding. And so, that is the nature of the invitation we see in this parable. Now, why do we have to labor on this point? But it shows what honor was accorded to the invitees. It shows how unreasonable their rejection and their likeness not to come is. Well, we're told in verse 3 that they would not come. The Greek word translated would not is they determined, they wish, they were inclined not to come. What honor was accorded to these people to witness one in a lifetime the marriage of a king's son, a royal wedding. And they say they would not come. And we're told in verse 4, again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. his business. They made light of it. As I've already stated, the word translated made light is not regard. They were negligent of it. I'll go to my farm. I'll go to, make money in my business. That is their response to the confirmation of the attendance to the wedding. It is ready. Please come. In spite of their initial rejection and lightness of it, the king is still pressing on, hoping that they may have a change of mind. They would not come. They made light of it. They went to the farm. They went to business, attend to business. And we read in verse 5, or further on, verse 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Now, friends, we have here the gospel presented to us in all its benefits. We looked this morning how the gospel can be seen as in its blessing negatively, saved from the misery and the sorrow of sin, saved from the power and the slavery of sin, saved from the condemnation in hell. But even look positively, the gospel, as it were, brings us into a new world, a new experience of a life lived for God, with him, known, having a hold on God, being able to call him your father, unchangeably yours, being able to pray to him, having answers to your prayers, having such an insight into the word of God, being brought into what? Relationship. Filial relationship with the Lord's people, Christians, be given the privilege of Christian service. And when perhaps times of trials, of sickness, even death strikes, the Lord God is there for you. His grace is so prominent that you would know unmistakably that he is there with you. And when he comes back, as if all was not enough, friends, you'll be given a resurrected body, a new body that would never die or see weakness or illness or pains, and that you would live eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the redeemed saints in heaven. You will see there Abraham. You will see there Jacob. You will see Isaac. You will see King David. All these people that we read about in the Bible, we shall see them. We shall see why the Bible translator Tyndale there. We shall see John Calvin. We shall see many. Why? We should see the dawn of the Reformation, John Wycliffe. All these people, we shall see them there. The saints of old, friends. They will share their experiences with us. We would have remembrance of all those great things the Lord did for us. We can recount them. Friend, would you exchange this eternal blessedness with the transient things of this world, the farm, the merchandise, the business, those carnal things, at the expense of these eternal joys and bliss? Friends, what are the activities, what are the excuses, what are the substitutes that you place in your life at the expense of yielding your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Perhaps you were asked to come to a gospel service. You were asked to come to a family prayer. Perhaps you've been urged by your parents to yield your life to Christ. Perhaps, the Lord is prompting you. Are you saved, friend? Are you saved? Come. Why are you waiting? I stand as the Lord is saying, why would you grieve me yet another day in your life with your sins? Why would you reject my offer of invitation? Why would you do that? Why would you waste your spiritual potentials, a day lived for the devil, live under the slavery of sin, when the Lord stands to save you today, friend? And so this, their response to the invitation gives us an insight into the excuses or the substitutes that people place. Over spiritual things and blessings. And then we're told that the king was wroth. He was angry at those who murdered his servants. Now you see how this parable captures the ways of the Jewish nation. Why? After all the rejections of the privilege of knowing the Lord God and his blessings, it turned worse. It turned physical. They arrested our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, certainly, friends, we would have done the same. We see this in our days. Before conversion, we were opposed to the things of God. We were hostile to the things of God and his people. And this is what we see, how sin and its influence in our lives can get worse if we do not come to the Lord God. Sin. And then we see that a king was wroth, and we're told that he sent his army, he dispatched his army to destroy those people. We're told, but when the king heard thereof in verse 7, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroy those murderers, and burn up their city. In history, in AD 69-70, we told how the Jewish temple was destroyed, and potentially the loss of about a million lives in the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Friend, perhaps maybe you have not reached that far yet. Not hostile to the Lord God yet. Perhaps you still have an affection for God. And the Lord is knocking on your door every day with invitations to come to him. But friend, you see, there is no sitting on the fence when it comes to the things of God, because we are engaged in the holy war. We are either in the camp of the Lord God or in the camp of the devil. And we are the mercy of the devil in the way that he will use us and influence us in our lives. Very soon you realize that actually you have no will or control as to the things that you would think, do, and your approach or your attitude to the Lord God and the things of God, and the devil takes over. And perhaps you'll be, who knows, perhaps you, things may get worse and you begin to be hostile against God. We know this from experience. Even those brought up in Christian homes. Friend, why would you wait? Why would you allow your spiritual state to get worse? Why would he not come now? Why the king is saying, look, tell them which are bidden. Behold, verse 4, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed and orphans are ready. Come unto the marriage. Come and experience it. Come and enjoy it freely. Come and, as it were, appropriate the honor which I have bestowed on you to be my child, to be the child of God, now and eternity. Why would you wait, friend, this evening? The Lord Jesus Christ has died. Even before his death, as it were, the Lord God had received a down payment. He knew that the Savior would come. Have you experienced, perhaps maybe, I did not know, this has never happened in my life, or when I was growing up, but I once heard this illustration when perhaps a parent goes to a supermarket with children, and the children are impatient to eat this chocolate or sweet. And dad or mommy will say, okay, you can have it. When I get to the till, I'll pay it. Even before the death of Christ, friend, people were being saved. Those before the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is ready. The gospel blessings about him is ready, friend. He came into our world to live a holy and a perfect life. That's what you and I need, to be allowed in the presence of God. He has done it already. Not only that, he also, on the cross of Calvary, beyond the physical sufferings, unseen to the human eyes, his Father was crushing him. Not for the sins that he has committed, but for the sins of all those who would put their trust in him. Can it be you today, this evening, friend? He has died. He suffered that eternal weight of punishment already. Why would you wait? Come now and experience this unspeakable benefit which leads to eternity, never to end. Well, we move on. We're told that the king was resolute that his son's wedding would not be foiled by the dishonor accorded him by these unworthy invitees. And so he urged his servants to go to the highways. The Greek word translated highways is the outlet roads. We're told by the experts that as you get towards the end of the highway, the road branches. And so these servants were to go to this end of the highway where the road branches so that they could get people in this junction, the maximum amount of people that they could get, and invite them to come and experience his blessings in the marriage feast. Now, friend, we see this in a remarkable way in how the gospel invitation, following the rejection of the Jewish nation, went out to the Gentile world. How the gospel was preached to all nations. And today you and I are partakers of this great blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we read that, so these servants went into the highways, verse 10, and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good. Note this word, both bad and good. And the wedding was finished with guest. The word finished means was full with guest. Both bad and good. And when the king came in to see the guest, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. Now, how can the king expect someone who had just been arrested on the highways to have a wedding robe? That would be the natural question. Well, the old view to this challenge or this problem posed by this parable is that in all probability, the king offered robes, garments to all those people. Why? This king would have been wealthy and rich. And we're told that this is not unprecedented. It has been done before. Why, in the book of Revelation, even we read of an offered robe. And so that would be the view that we hold, that the guests who were arrested or who were invited from the highways were given a robe. But we're told of someone who went to this marriage without a robe. Picture in your mind the servants of the king giving out robes as people enter into the gates. And this person comes at the gate and looks at his dress and says, he brushes off the dirt perhaps from it and says, I'm fine, I'm okay. Please allow me to go. And he forces his way into the wedding feast. And then comes the king. And then he could see very visibly someone who was wearing a strange attire. Friend, the king says, how comest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into darkness, outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This friend rejected the robe. How disgraceful. How ungrateful. That invited from the highways to experience this benefit, given a robe, perhaps no doubt the point of requiring a robe to be allowed in, stressed by the servants, this person doesn't budge. He gets to the place and expect to be allowed to stay in, but he's not being allowed. This is such an affront to this king and his son. How can you come into my gathering without a robe? And friend, here, as we already spoke about, this no doubt is a figure of perhaps someone in our midst this evening, or someone who finds his way or claims to be part of the family of the Lord God, Jesus. And there is no true experience of the Lord's work of grace in your heart. You cannot say that there was a time when I lived for myself and for the world of the devil. And when I heard the gospel, I saw my ways and I repented of my offense to God all my life. I was so ashamed of my ways, my thoughts, my words, and my deeds, and I repented of my sins, and I trusted in the redeemed work, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, and his death for me on the cross of Calvary. You cannot pinpoint that time. There has not been any change in your life. There's not been any turnaround in your life. You will think the same thoughts as you did. You speak the same way as you did. You like the same things, pursues as you did. The only thing that perhaps has changed is that you find you come to church regularly. But there is no true work of grace in your heart. You cannot say that I have truly repented of my sins and have come to relationship with God and I love him, I pray to him. I truly and truly hate sin now. I don't plan to sin. My life is now for the Lord God. I live for him. You cannot really say that. But even further on from not having a true Christian conversion, your life now still, there is no true change, true holiness, true righteousness, as we have seen that the righteousness which is signified in the robe, Christ's robe of righteousness that he gives us, is not only at the imputed righteousness at conversion, which we need to be justified before God, but also seen in the imparted righteousness, the day-to-day working, operation of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace, through our reading of the Word of God, through our coming to church. That is what we call the imparted day ongoing righteousness that the Lord God imparts in our lives as we appropriate the means of grace. There is no conversion, and as to be expected, there is no change life, friend. And so, as a result of that, we cannot be allowed in heaven. When the Lord comes today, he who sees your life and knows your heart and your thoughts can see that you've not come to him ever in your life. And you have to be rejected. Friend, this parable is a masterpiece. It strikes two spiritual states. Indifference to the things of God, our response to the gospel call invitation, and unfounded claims that we are Christians, that we have experienced the grace of God in our lives. Two things. How is your attitude to the gospel call? And secondly, how true is your claim that you are a Christian? We cannot deceive God. May the Lord help us. And may we never rest until we have come to true certainty that we have, that we pray that the Lord would help us to treasure the things of God and His gospel and the experience of His grace in our lives, and that we truly are in His family by His grace. Should we come and sing our last hymn?